Today we celebrate the Feast of the Transfiguration, which is a pretty unique event in the life of Christ. Normally, he veiled his divinity under his humanity. He would perform miracles in ways that showed his divinity, but often it was hard to see. But in the Transfiguration is this unique moment where he shines and shows his divinity to his apostles, just three of them, to strengthen them for what is about to happen. His passion is imminent at this point, and he's strengthening them with this vision. And so what they kind of learned at that moment, and what they were reminded of at that moment, that truth is also a truth that we can be reminded of today. That Jesus is God. Jesus is also a man, and that's what the apostles were used to, seeing Jesus as a man. But they're reminded that Jesus truly is God in a stunning way. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes went white as light. That had to be shocking enough in itself. And then the voice of God the Father bellows like thunder, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And it says they were very much afraid. They were exceedingly afraid at the presence of God there on the top of that mountain. And what a great reminder this is for us, that Jesus is completely unique. Of all the prophets and religious leaders, spiritual gurus that have ever walked the earth, only one claimed to be God. Buddha pointed to something else. Confucius pointed to something else. Muhammad pointed to something else. They pointed to a way or to a God. They were not the center of their religion, what they were trying to show. But Jesus is the center of Christianity, because Jesus is God. So he's completely unique in that way. We know that God is the center of reality. We know that Jesus is God, and thus Jesus is the center of reality. That is a truly unique and changing everything kind of truth, that Jesus is God. And that's what makes you a Christian. If you believe that Jesus is God, you are a Christian. If you do not believe that Jesus is God, you are not a Christian. That's the dividing line, really. And we know that if Jesus is God, that he is the only one that can save us from our sins, the only one who can grant us eternal joy in heaven. And so we are Christians. We follow Christ. Christ is the center. That's why we use the term Christian, right? It's there, Christ. That's the center of everything. But we also are Catholic Christians. But does it really matter what church we go to? If we believe that Jesus is God, we're Christians. We're good to go. But what about that time Jesus says, "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church"? And what about that time that he gave the apostles the ability to bind and loose sins? And what about the time he sent out the Holy Spirit upon the apostles to go out and proclaim the good news of the kingdom to all of the earth? And these elements were very important to the early church in the early 300s. So that the church had been under persecution for many, many years. So the early 300s, it was finally allowable to be Christian. It was legal to practice Christianity. So all these Christians come out of the catacombs, come out from underground, come out from secrecy. And they're like, "Oh, hey, he's a Christian. Oh, there's more Christians." And so they all come out. But then they realize, like, well, that guy claims to be Christian, but he's doing weird things. So they got together. They had a council. The bishops and religious leaders got together and said, "What does it mean to truly be Christian?" And so they came up with the creed that we say, "I believe in one God, the Father Almighty." So they said, these are the things you have to believe to be Christian. That's what makes you Christian. But then they had to answer the question, well, what is it? How do we know if somebody's a part of that church that Jesus founded? How do we know that? So then they came up with the four marks of the church, the four signs that people are a part of this church that Jesus founded. Number one, there is only one. Jesus founded one church. Two, holy, that it has the presence of the Holy Spirit in it. The church is not holy because we aren't perfectly holy, but the church is holy because the Holy Spirit is there. God, Jesus, gave the Holy Spirit to the church, and that's what makes it holy. Catholic, it's universal. It's for everyone. No one's excluded. It covers everyone. And apostolic, the church is founded by the apostles, the same ones that Jesus gave the Holy Spirit to. He gave the ability to bind and loose sins to. So those are the four marks of the church. One, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. So we know that Jesus is God. We know that Jesus left a church in which we can encounter him, in which we can establish a true, deep relationship with him through the presence of the Holy Spirit in the church and in the sacraments. So we have to ask ourselves, why would we keep that to ourselves? Especially when people say, it doesn't matter which church you go to as long as you believe in Christ. You know, the you're okay, I'm okay, it's all okay. But it's not a, we don't share the faith because it's a, you know, we're better or we're right. No, we share the faith because it's like, look what you can be a part of. Look what I found. Look at what Christ is offering you in the Catholic Church. Something deeper, something more rich. And so why do I bring all this up? Well, at the end of the month, we're starting up our RCIA program again. That's the Rite of Christian Initiation for Adults, a.k.a. the process of becoming Catholic. So if you know someone, if you know someone who doesn't know Christ, or if you know a Christian in another church who is open to the possibility of learning more about the Catholic faith or being a part of the church, all you have to do is make an invitation. All you have to do is have that initial conversation with them to offer the invitation to RCIA, because then that makes it really easy, because then you hand it over to Father Andrew and the RCIA team, and they can show them the true depths and riches of the Catholic faith. They can answer some of those more difficult questions. And so I encourage you, if you know someone who's thought about being Catholic, or someone you think would really be interested, or someone who really needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, or maybe a Christian friend who's asked you a lot of questions about the Catholic faith, just extend that invitation. Hey, my church is they're starting up a program about what it means to be Catholic. Would you be interested? Would you like to check it out? Because that the whole idea of you're okay and I'm okay and it's all okay, that's not good enough. It's, I have found something much better than okay. I found something truly life-giving and amazing, and I want to share that with you. Come check out this program. Come try RCIA. Learn what I've found in the Catholic Church.